up, y'all? It's your girl Malaika, and I'm checking in with another episode of From the Block podcast. And look, okay, y'all, it's 2024. Okay, this is the year of elevation, right? This is the year of getting more money. This is the year of being more knowledgeable. So when I say I got y'all, I got y'all. So if you really know me for real, you know that real estate is definitely like a really big interest of mine. But sometimes when you're dealing with a market, when you're dealing with a business that's just so nuanced, it can be a little overwhelming. But hey, I got y'all, okay? That's what I'm here for. So please give it up for, right? We have a very, very dope special guest in the building. Give it up for DeVario. How you feeling today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming. So, okay, this is the opener. How did you get started?
Right? I get this question a lot. I got started by crying. I was in corporate America. Money was good.
What was your job in corporate?
I was a recruiter.
Oh, okay.
A corporate recruiter. And I started seeing that some of the higher-ups, they were making even more money. So I'm like, okay, cool, this might work out. But then I thought about it. I'm driving this beat up 2006 Grand Prix, and the higher ups got Acuras, Ferraris, but they all sitting in the same parking lot. They still never had the freedom. So I started to think, I can't do that because then I'll still be stuck in the same office. I went home that night and I'm thinking to myself, how can I make more money but still be at home? And I'm up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and I start pacing the floor. I'm just crying. Couldn't stop it. And when I wanted to quit, I said to myself, how can I quit when rent is due? And when I said rent is due, I froze. I thought to myself, I'm in apartment number 5,125.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is making 5,000 people, paid them $1,000 a month, and they're not here. That started it.
Okay.
I wanted to get on the other side.
We love the transparency.
Absolutely.
So, what is the process, right? Because we know that step one, right? You have to see it. And then once you see it, you have to... No, you have to believe it. And then once you believe it, you can see it. Isn't that the first step? Or you see it and then you believe it? Either anyway, look, you see something, you believe in something, right? That's step one. Now, step two is actually putting your beliefs into action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is the first step? So you said that you were making good money in mm-hmm. corporate. But as we know, right, when getting into real estate, you know, it's a couple, you know, you need some, a little bit more than that. You need great instead of good. So what was your first step of acquiring your first, we'll just say your first unit?
Okay. Yeah, your first unit. I'll go back to the seeing and believing.
Mm-hmm.
That's that can separate the men from the boys, or in your case, the women from the girls. Because if you can see what other people can't see, you can have what other people can't have. So some people might believe it if they could see it. I had a lot of partners in that corporate office that were like, bro, why not stay? You're doing good. You about to climb the ladder. You'll kill it here.
Mm-hmm.
But they could not see what I could. Therefore, they couldn't believe in it. Now they can that I've done it, but they couldn't believe in it. But once you've got it and you've got the vision, I would say reverse engineer backwards. So I knew I wanted to be at home 100%. I knew I wanted to make $1 million. I had to find out, okay, how much is $1 million monthly? $83,000 a month, $20-some thousand a week. Now I got that. How do I get it? So, being transparent with you, I wanted to buy real estate. And as you know, that's expensive. So I'm like, well, I don't have the money. So I started thinking, how can I get the money? The ways took too long for me. So then I said, well, Google, how can you buy real estate with no money? Everybody said, all you got to do is have good credit. Then I figured, well... Well, what's my credit score? Credit score was a 496. I said, well, damn, how can I fix that? Or can it be fixed? Once I found out it could, and then I said, how? I fixed it. That led me to starting a credit repair company. Credit repair company made me more capital. I sold that service to people. I found out how many people have it. I got smart. I went to car dealerships. I'm like, hey, who's the top salesman? This guy, he's selling 30 cars a month. If you're selling 30 cars, how many people are you turning away? Mm. So I'm like, hey, anybody with bad credit, send them to me. I ran my money up like that. I fixed my own credit. Now I got a little bit of money from the credit repair.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I also got a 750 from repairing my own credit.
Mm.
And then I started buying homes, seller finance. No banks involved. Sometimes no money involved. And even if I did use money, I used the credit card. I liquidated the credit card. Never touched any of my own money. So unit one was bought with $0 of mine.
So I like that. But one thing I do want to ask, though, because I know we talk about, and people should know, if you don't know, I'll tell you, credit is very important. It's incredibly important. But the thing with credit, though, because it's money. It's all money at the end of the day. But if you struggle to flip it, like, it's one thing getting it, because I feel like getting it is pretty easy, but flipping it, so, like, investing in something and, you know, knowing that you're going to make, right, an efficient profit, it's like a 50-50 gamble. So someone that's going to take a big risk, right, and, you know, they're going to use their credit, right, to acquire property, how can they make sure that, okay, I can flip this properly and I will see a return, you know, on my investment?
I feel like that, to make sure, the surefire way is being educated. I feel like it's no risk because it was never any of your money. So at the end of the day, I can use $50,000 of Bank of America's, $50,000 of Wells Fargo. And a lot of us forget that these millionaires we see, Donald Trump's, whatever, we should do our homework on how many times they file bankruptcy. There are a lot of successful people who have filed bankruptcy, meaning that they tried, they put all the eggs in one basket and they failed. And you start over. In our community, bankruptcy is looked at as like the worst thing in the world. In finance, however, it's like a fresh restart. So there is no risk. But to technically, depending on how you look at it. But to answer your question, for example, my first unit, the guy wanted $15,000 cash.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did do is I figure, okay, let me figure out why he's selling. I found out why. And then I upped him. I said, how about I pay you $25,000, but in a year? I'll give you 10% of $25,000 today. And then in 1 year, I'll give you all of the remaining balance back. 10% of $25,000 is $2,500. I liquidated $2,500 off the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to him. But I rented that place out to a Section 8 tenant. So that way my money is guaranteed. Like you said, I can make sure I can pay my credit card back.
Mm-hmm.
My money's guaranteed. The Section 8 tenant, her rent was $1,200 a month.
Mm.
Times two, though, because security deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my $2,500 back on day one when she moved in.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid my credit card back. Now she's in there and she's paying me. But the guy's why? His wife was sick. He just needed a little bit of money. The house was worth $50,000. He didn't want to pay a realtor. He didn't want to wait. 1 year was fast enough for him. I refinanced the property in 3 months, pulled out $40,000, gave him $20,000. I had $20,000 left in my pocket to do that same deal over again 5 times.
So it's a little bit, so basically what you're saying, that it's a little bit nuanced than, you know, having cash. You also have to be in a, you know, more than decent communicator. And you actually have to know, like, fully understand and know what you're getting yourself into.
Absolutely. Knowing how to negotiate and being an active listener will get you further than cash or credit ever will.
Well, I definitely agree with that. But then, so how does one even go about acquiring those skills? Because it's a lot, and I feel like people don't really understand
it
for real.
And I would say those skills, when we talk about real estate, it just takes, it's like riding a bike. Everybody's got those scars on the knees and elbows, and they tell a story. You got to get out there and embarrass yourself. And for people just now getting started with a little bit of money, I would say if you're not getting cursed out, hung up on, and getting no's every week because your offers are too low, then you ain't doing it right.
So then, because I've heard before where, you know, so the first question, right? How does one even go about even finding potential tenants that are looking to, you know, rent or looking for, you know, people that are just selling? They're like, I'm done with that.
Sure.
Because I know, like, I've heard stories, like, on The Breakfast Club, like, you know, with, like, Caesar and DJ Envy, when they're like, just drive around, right? Go to every block, and I want you to look. But, I mean, just being realistic, that's...
It's not efficient.
Yeah, or right, like cold calling, like calling 80 people a day. That's
a job.
So what can one do to find people like that?
To find the renters, I don't do anything. You use affordablehousing.com. You put the unit that you are renting on there. And those people who use that site, 99% of them are already funded by the government. So they will apply to the unit. I haven't called a tenant for my property. Like, hey, I got a property, or do you know anybody? I haven't done that in years. Now, finding who's selling it, I use the normal realtor, Zillow. I use Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist. And you kind of know on Marketplace and Craigslist, like, if they didn't go with a realtor, they're probably trying to save some money on fees. They just listed it, couple pictures, whatever. That's when I really make sure to put in my notes, go 7 layers deep on why. Keep asking why. And remember, we all have a little bit of selfishness in us. So we all like to talk about ourselves a little bit. But when people have a problem and they feel like you'll listen, they'll just keep talking. I get on the phone. How you doing, Jane Doe? My name is so-and-so. I'm just calling because I see your address is for sale. Tell me what's going on. Sometimes these people already have tenants in their property. They want to rent it because the tenant is not paying. Sometimes there's a repair that they cannot afford, so they'll sell it for the low. Sometimes there's a divorce. I mean, we can't, you know, divorces are 50-50 right now.
Mm-hmm.
How many married people you know? Yeah, we're happy. It's year one, we bought a home. Year two, they're ready to sell it. So, I mean, people's why they're selling will dictate where I come in at the price. I know you're hurting. I know your wife is sick. I know you got it listed at $20,000 because that would be nice. But with me getting comfortable with you and lowering the barrier, you already told me that the surgery really was only $8,500. You just would like $12,000 to stuff your pocket a little bit. Guess where my offer's coming in at? Probably in between that. Because you can't afford, you told me too much. You can't afford to let it sit there. You need me to purchase it. I'm not going to give you what you're asking for, and I can solve your problem. So my main thing when I get on the phone is find out what the problem is and the fastest way to a solution.
So let's say someone, right, they've done their research, they're working on their people skills, and they're like, all right, I'm ready to buy my first home, my first investment home, where I'm ready to buy my first unit, right?
Sure.
What is when someone's getting ready to make that big purchase, right? What's a good amount that they should start with?
I think that depends on the area, which is why I go to the Midwest. So I bought my first home in Atlanta in 2019, Lithonia. And this was before the skyrocket really took off.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a $175,000-$180,000 home for, I think, out of pocket, all in, closing costs, down payment. I was under 10K or right around 10K.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that here now. Homes, the average purchase price is right around 400, 450. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you think, you know, 400,000, 5% down, that's 20K. I can take that same $20,000 to the Midwest and buy a $40,000 house with 20% down, which is only $8,000, I can do it twice. And I'm a net $500, $600 a month cash flow from two units. I'd rather do that. So that's why I say everybody's why is different. Like, if you're looking for a home for yourself, and let's just say we're in Atlanta, you trying to buy your first home, single, no kids, I wouldn't buy one home. A home is not an asset. Not if it costs you money. You got to pay utilities in it. Water, lights, and you're not renting to nobody. That's not an asset.
You know,
who cares if it goes up in value? That's not an asset to you.
It's interesting you said that, because there's just this huge debate on social media. Is home ownership versus renting? Which one is overrated versus underrated?
I see that a lot too. Grant Cardone, I love Grant. Follow a lot that he says, and he's right in regards to home is not an asset. I agree.
Rather, my older generation finna get you.
Hey, listen, it's not. Assets put money in your pocket. Liabilities take money out. So remember, I own a bunch of homes. If they weren't assets, I wouldn't own them. I'm not that crazy. But the home I live in does not make me any money. It goes up in value. But what does that matter? Until I sell it or pull the equity out of it to use it, it's a liability. Renting versus owning. I just told you, you're going to need $10,000-$20,000 to get a property in the metro area. That's 2 years worth of rent, $20,000 in some spots, at least 18 months worth of rent. So some people are like, why would I put down 20K and I have to pay my mortgage every month when I can just go rent? That might be true. However, me, what I noticed back in corporate America is whoever has the most power wins. In your home, you got power. The mortgage will never go up on you. You control that. It's yours. In an apartment, however,
this... But I thought in terms of the mortgage that mm-hmm. if the property value, like let's say they start building stuff around the area, like you get a Chipotle and mm-hmm. a Starbucks, then that mortgage mm-mm. is going to go up, right?
Absolutely not. When you put your name on a mortgage deed, a deal with the bank, it's like buying a car.
Yeah.
You buy a car. They say this is a $50,000 SUV, and your payment is going to be $750 a month, 5% interest for 5 years. That's it. If your car goes up or down, think about it. Cars go down in value, right? Does yeah. your car payment get cheaper because the car went down in value?
Mm-mm.
Same thing with a mortgage. It ain't going to get more expensive.
Mm.
So renting versus mortgage, let's say I buy a house today. I'm out of $10,000 out of pocket, and I got to pay $1,200 a month. You rent for $1,500. You like, see, I kept my $10,000. But what about when the move-in specials come around and they say, hey, you want to renew your lease? Because now we're raising it to $1,750.
Well, yeah, that I do know.
And then they build a Chipotle by you and now rent $2,000. And then when you move, you lost all that rent money. See, when I sell and if I decide to leave out of my house and I sell, I'm going to get what I paid for it at least back, right? Which means all those monthly payments I made, they're coming back to me. And if it went up in value, I'm going to get that too. So now I basically lived for free, got all my money back, and then the surplus, I'm going to use that to go buy another home.
Mm.
So the success ends up being exponential. You take a hit on the first one, true. But moving forward, you'll catch up.
So do you think, so in regards to like, okay, so let's say someone's like, okay, that sounds good, but I think I probably want to go a more, I guess, like easier route. So let's say if they want to do like Airbnb, do you think now is still a good time or do you think the market's too oversaturated?
I would probably laugh because they said easy. I picked long-term rentals because they are the easiest of all the real estate ventures. In real estate, you have fix and flip, buy and hold, which is what I do, wholesaling, and house hacking. So if you live in you buy an apartment complex, you live in one, you rent the other two or three units out, you basically live for free. That one's pretty easy too.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to Airbnb being easy, I think people forget that they have to be cleaned. I mean, if you and I were taking a trip, we're supposed to arrive at an Airbnb today at 5 p.m. and we get there and it's trash. You mad? I'm mad. I want my money back. Well, what does the owner do with that? Now mm-hmm. they trying to refund money that they've probably already spent. Who's washing the linens? You got to provide. It actually costs people more money to do Airbnb if they own the home. Some people are leasing a home, then Airbnb in it. That's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you and I buy a home to Airbnb. We spent $10,000, $20,000 to get it. What about furnishing it?
Mm.
So we bought a 4-bedroom Airbnb. Furniture is not cheap.
Mm-mm.
So we got to do TVs. We got to pay for the Wi-Fi. We got to pay for the water. We got to pay for the utilities. We got to furnish it. Spend a lot of money. And yeah, you might rent it, but I don't like it because it's not fail-proof. What happened when COVID came?
Everything shut down.
All right. So how you make your money? Oh, I got this beautiful Airbnb, but they just say you can't fly anywhere. Who's coming to it?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, oh, I bought the Airbnb and it was booked 6 months out in advance, but now these people couldn't come. You going to refund them? But you already bought a Benz with the money.
Mm.
Mine, however, is recession-proof, fail-proof, pandemic-proof, name it. The government is not going to shut off Section 8 because they will be dealing with hundreds of millions of evictions.
So then if that's the case, what if someone's like, okay, which is like a good segue to the next mm-hmm. question. I'll just become a realtor. So real estate license, underrated or overrated?
Very much so overrated. That would be the last thing I advise anybody doing real estate, because your success is solely dependent on a lot going right. And I'm a realist. I don't like for the hope things go right. If I'm a realtor, I only make money if I can help you sell a home or help you buy a home. So how many people are standing back on the sidelines right now? I'm not going to buy right now because the rates are high. You hear that a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people aren't going to buy right now, don't that mean that the people on the other side trying to sell can't really sell them either? How are realtors making money? Do your homework on how many realtors were in foreclosure or behind on their mortgages or got other jobs. A lot of realtors, see, social media is a highlight reel. Mm-hmm. A lot of realtors don't show you they got a 9-to-5 and then they're a realtor on the side. Mm. The people who buy homes, they got jobs typically. Mm-hmm. So if they're working 9-to-5, when are you showing the homes? Mm-hmm. Between 5 and 9?
Yeah.
So you up late, you showing them on the weekends. You can't go to church if that's what you like to do. You showing homes all weekend.
So what time of the year do you think is a good time to buy real estate?
For an investor or for somebody looking to live in it?
An investor.
Investor, always.
Always.
Always. Never a bad time
365.
To buy. That's right. Listen, people are always selling homes. And even when they're not selling, you can put that bug in their ear. You might know something, like you mentioned, some developments are coming. Mm-hmm. Get it early before the price goes up. But for an investor, never a bad time to buy. I would say this with the interest rate thing. I know social media is going to kill me for that. How is it not a bad time to buy when interest rates are 7%? I'll give you an example. If we buy a $300,000 house today at 7%, everybody's going to jump on us because they're going to say, what if the rates go down to 5%? You know what happens to the price of a home when the rates go down? The price goes up. So if we bought a house today at 7%, rates drop in 2 months to 5%, how much is our house worth now? At least $350,000. Mm. We just made $50,000. We didn't do anything. Now, if you wait till the rates drop,
they finna get you.
You're gonna pay more. You're gonna pay $350,000 for it.
Yeah.
And you made no profit. And you got competition. See, everybody's waiting on the rates to drop. So now you as a single woman are trying to beat the 45, 50-year-old couple with 20 years of work experience under their belt. Grandma already passed and left them $40,000 apiece. They got cash. They got better credit. They got time to wait. You know, they got kids. They're going to pay over asking because they can. Us youngins can't do it. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the time under our belt.
Yeah.
So they'll outdo you. That's why I would say I would not wait. When people aren't buying, I would be buying.
I've actually heard someone say that before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's risky though. But I guess that's risky.
It's not risky.
And real estate kind of they coincide with one another.
Listen, if you no risk, no reward. I say that. But but secondly, this is why I say it's not risky.
Yeah.
I never press any religion on people. Whatever God you believe in, I've never seen one of them come back down here and make more land. With that being said, as long as we keep doing it and making babies, there's going to be a demand for land.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it now. No, there has been no one who has made more. You cannot make more land. You can develop it, mm-hmm. but you cannot come here and say, I'm going to slap 20 acres just out of nowhere. You can't. And if you want to do it in my neighborhood, you got to buy me out.
So, because I meant to ask you this earlier, but I guess this would be a different segue. So mm-hmm. let's say, right, someone's like, using my credit, it's a little too risky. But what if on the flip side, you know, I can go to the bank, you know, maybe talk and, you know, get a loan. How does one efficiently do something like that? Because I feel like it sounds easy, but it's a little bit more complicated.
Loans are a little bit more complicated because banks want to see proof.
Yeah.
So if you're young, like how do I show you? It's like the jobs that say we want you to have a master's degree, be young, and have 5 years of experience. How? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So same deal with a loan. They want 2 years tax returns. They want to show that your business is making money. But I just started the LLC yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's impossible, but you're not going to get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then also when I talk about risk, I would still convince that person to side with credit, whether personal or business, because credit is revolving. Business loans are finite. So would you rather me give you $50,000 today in the form of a loan or $15,000 in the form of a line of credit that you got for the rest of your life? Mm. See, credit, I don't owe you anything until I swipe it, until I use it. Mm-hmm. The loan, I give you $50,000 today, you owe me next month on the 15th.
Yeah.
Whether you used it or not. Credit, until you're ready, then you don't make a payment until you've used it. Mm-hmm. So I would still side with that because once you spend the 50, it's gone.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Make sure you get your credit up. It's crucial. So DeVario, closing question. What is the hardest part about entrepreneurship?
The uncertainty.
Yep, sounds about right.
A lot of people, going back to the beginning, a lot of people will, they'll doubt you. It'll be thousands to try to prophesy failure because it's foreign. It's unknown. I hate to say it, but if you close your eyes and you say businessman, even Google it, those people don't look like us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even lawyer, you didn't see one of us. Mm-hmm. Doctor, you didn't see one of us. Entrepreneur, you won't see one of us, not even in your own mind. So trying to convince yourself to leave a steady job, stable job, which is not really stable anyway, that's scary.
It is.
But I always tell people, fear is false emotion appearing real. Pick your hard. Having a job and you know that your boss could have got into it with his wife and he pissed off, he fired you for nothing, that's scary too.
Yeah, it is.
I'd rather bet on myself, like, every day of the week. And then, like I mentioned, there's no job out there that can control, I'm sorry, that you can, you're going to tell them when you are or not coming to work. You're not going to tell, you have to ask. Think about it. A male put his drawers on just like me. I'm not asking you for a vacation. You don't know when I need a break. Entrepreneurship allows me to do what I want, say what I want. You see athletes, they can't share stuff on Twitter about race and social injustice, whatever, because they are employed. Although they're professional athletes, they're employed by them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm ruthless on social media, but if I wanted to be, I can, because I can't be fired. So I would press entrepreneurship on anybody who wants autonomy to do whatever they want to do.
I like that. Well, do you have a mentorship program?
I do. It's launching here soon in the spring. I revamped it. My wife does graphic design and everything. So
okay.
She was on me about color schemes and making sure the website is efficient. But yes, absolutely. I do consultations. I did get away from the credit repair. Virtual assistants were just getting a little bit too hard to hire. But I do have an ebook so you can do it yourself. It's not anything crazy, not a lot of reading. But the mentorship covers everything in real estate, fix and flips, buy and hold, wholesaling, how to get your credit right, how to set up your LLC, what areas are best to buy in for what your goal is. So that'll be launching here pretty soon this spring.
I know that's right. Okay, so y'all can follow DeVario on all social media platforms at
The Average Millionaire.
Okay, period. Make sure y'all tap in because that mentorship program is really, really important. DeVario, thank you so much for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dropping gems, all of that. That credit conversation, they're going to get you for that.
That's all right. I'm ready. I'm ready for all the smoke. I ain't ducking no smoke.
Period. All right. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at From the Block Podcast. Bye. That was dope.